Reading, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to my show, Positively Healthy, here on KCNR 1460. Another glorious fall day. I'm going to jump right to what we have going on next week. Next week we're having a Prop 19 show. That's our possible medical marijuana legalization or partial legalization or whatever you want to call it. And so we're going to have some guests in the studio and talk about that. It's not necessarily about the benefits of medical marijuana. I think that, you know, if you're interested in medical marijuana right now, you can get it or you can not get it. And so we won't really be talking about anything medical. We're just mostly talking about the law. And things coming up here, Shasta College, well, they're having they call it a Harvest Fest, Bids, Bites, and Brews, and that's out at the Shasta College Farm tonight. And you know, the Shasta College, if you drive around the back out there, there's the egg department, and that's where it's located. And so they're having beer and wine tasting, finger foods, a silent auction, draft horse rides. You get a tour of the farm, and there'll be live music by the Jim Dyer Band. We know I love the Jim Dyer Band. Tickets are $35 in advance. $30 in advance or $35 at the door. And so if you want to do that tonight, you know, that benefits the ag department. And you know, the farmers of tomorrow are the students of today. So the more we're trying to get real food for the masses and to eat local food, you know, kind of part of the focus of this show, we're going to have farmers. And in order to have farmers, we're going to need to support the ag department because times are lean. And so speaking of food, you know, I have a monthly column in the Record Searchlight and that came out on Thursday, and I talked about the hamburger, you know, and it was titled for me, That Bad Boy Burger Could Be Health Food. And I love that title because, you know, in the article I was talking about how you really can take a hamburger and turn it into something healthy for you by having grass-fed beef over beef that is full of hormones and antibiotic residues. You can have a sprouted wheat bun instead of a bun full of dough conditioners and preservatives and, you know, a lifeless kind of almost what I would think of as toxic bun. I also mentioned in there places you can buy some of this local good food. And one place, you know, I love Lazy 69 Ranch Burger, and they are a sponsor of this show. But there are also other places. You know, we have Prather Ranch Beef that you can get at Kent's Meats out on Airport Road. And as some commenters emailed me, we also have the Hat Creek Grown or Mountain Grown, or maybe I need to really learn the name of them. And we should have them on the show because we're getting a lot of new ranchers committed to higher quality foods. And, you know, another thing I talked about in that article is ketchup and mustard. You know, you really want to steer around the high fructose corn syrup, and we know high fructose corn syrup kind of trashes your immune system. It is such a leading cause of diabetes, and it also gives you some real emotional and mental disorders. And so, you know, it's getting renamed right now. And so, you know, the more people like me talk about high fructose corn syrup, the more the manufacturers realize they need a marketing campaign, and it's getting renamed, you know, so it's going to be called corn sugar. And so, you know, as I teach you to, you know, if you can't pronounce it, don't eat it. Well, you know, it's pretty confusing to have something called corn sugar. So we now get to start being aware of that as, you know, some type of bad guy masquerading as something that we recognize. Because it's easy to think, well, corn, how bad could that be? Well, it's processed in a way that is not good for you. And when I touch on the fact that we have a lot of antibiotic resistance going on, I know you've heard me talk about that before. Well, when we move to these clean meats, we need to sort of dump all of this antibiotic residue that is in our food supply. And so, you know, one of the things we have happening right now that's been making the news, there was a Time magazine article recently, and you know, we've got these deadly diseases coming back, and they're coming back fast, and they're coming back furious, and a lot of us are now resistant to the antibiotics that we've leaned on our whole lives to save us. And you become resistant when you're constantly exposed to antibiotics. And so right now, 70% of the antibiotics we're consuming, they're in our food supply. And so, you know, years ago, Europe got rid of antibiotics in their food supply, and we're still doing it. And so my question to you is, you know, like everything, we have to, apparently we need to start being the ones who take the lead on that. And the more you vote with your pocketbook and you buy clean food and you demand it at your restaurant near you, you know, there are only two places I know of in Reading that have clean food, clean beef that you can eat right now, and that would be Moonstone Bistro. You can get a great burger there of Prather Ranch beef, and you can also get a great burger down at the Woodside Grill at the Gaia Hotel in Anderson. And so, this is not more expensive. This is just, you know, you just make a choice. You just sort of, you know, ask the person at your favorite restaurant if they can start getting a different type and a different level of quality of food for you. And so you'll be healthier, they'll be healthier, and what seems like a lot of work today ends up being a no-brainer, and in a year it's just what everybody does. And so we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with more, and we're going to go to our guests. Okay, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy. Hi, you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about Europe stopping certain practices. One of theirs was the practice of adding antibiotics to their food supply. And another that they were so good at is just saying no to genetically modified organisms. And on the phone, we have our first guest, who is Carrie Ann Gein. Carrie Ann, are you with us this morning?
Yes, I am.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
It's going good.
Good. How's the new baby?
Oh, she's great. She slept from 9:30 to 6 this morning, last night. So I got some good sleep last night.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, yeah. You know, we were talking about GMOs and how Europe has led the way by just saying no to GMOs. And I just want to start at the beginning with you. You know, first of all, we are so lucky to have you in our community. You know, you're just red hot on this whole genetically modified thing. It's just, you know, you have a fire in your belly over the fact that it's just disgusting. It's going to wreck civilization as we know it. And I want you to just take it from the top for the folks out in Radio Land. You know, what the heck? What's a GMO?
All right, GMO stands for genetically modified organism. It's the process of taking DNA from one species, and they are literally forced into the genes of an unrelated plant or animal. This can be called genetic engineering, which it's abbreviated GE, or genetic modification, which is GM. It is not a natural process, you know, such as crossbreeding or grafting trees. It's man-made, basically. You know, they force the genes into genes of a completely different species. So, for example, let's say you can mate a dog with another dog, and you get a different variety. So that's a natural form of breeding. But you can't mate a dog with a potato or a mouse, and that's what they're doing in the labs. They're taking genes from a different species and putting it into a different species. So
now, what happens when we do that? What happens when we decide to override nature?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing, is overriding nature. The problem with that is that they have not done the necessary testing to see what this is actually doing to us by putting genetically modified food into our food system. We don't know exactly what it is doing to our bodies, but we do know from looking at animals that have eaten genetically modified foods that it definitely is something that is not good. Some of the things that have happened to the animals include infertility, immune problems, accelerated aging, faulty insulin regulation, and changes in major organs and gastrointestinal systems. Thousands of sheep, buffalo, and goats have died in India after they have grazed on BT cotton plants, which is a genetically modified plant. Mice basically have become infertile after eating soy. There's so many lists. There's a long list of different things that have happened to animals, and yet they will not do the procedures to actually figure out what this is doing to humans who are consuming the same foods.
Now, what are our crops that the consumers need to be aware of? We have four or five big crops. What are they?
Right. It's not all foods. If you just can memorize these four main crops and any of the ingredients that are derived from these four crops, if you avoid these, then it's as simple as that. And so the first one, the biggest one, is soy. And over 91%, I've read I've read articles that say as high as 95% of soy is genetically modified. And so when you're looking at the ingredients of anything that you buy in the store, anything that has something such as soy lecithin, soy protein, you know, vegetable oil, it's usually taken from soy. So you have to just watch for anything that's taken from soy. The next one would be corn, and over 85% of corn is genetically modified. So there again, look for, you know, corn starch, high fructose corn syrup, anything that is derived from corn, you want to avoid. And then canola is over 88% genetically modified, and cotton crops, over 88% are genetically modified. And from cotton, we get the cottonseed oil that is sometimes used, you know, in chips or some other foods. And so in order to avoid eating genetically modified foods, you're going to want to either just avoid ingredients that have any of these four crops, or buy organic food. Organic food cannot have any genetically modified ingredients in it.
And then, go ahead.
There's Hawaiian papaya. So papaya just from Hawaii is genetically modified as well. It's well over 50% now of Hawaiian papaya is genetically modified as well. So that's something else to look out for.
So if people were to then just read labels and realize, all right, it's got canola oil in it, it's going to be a GMO crop, all right, it means that who knows what it's going to do to my body, apparently in animals and small test groups, it hasn't done positive things. You know, if you're, I mean, I guess that what you've taught me is there's just a whole lot of infertility happening for people with these GMO crops. Is that kind of what you, would you say that may be the biggest symptom that you've seen? I mean, death, I guess, is in there for mice, right?
Right, yeah, for mice and rats. Within three generations, they are completely infertile. If you just look at the trend of what's going on with the human population right now, especially in America, you know, infertility, I have so many friends that are, you know, having trouble having babies. And, you know, you look at the rise of autism, of diabetes, of cancer, of just all these things. What is going on? I mean, there's other, you know, there's other issues too, such as lack of exercise, et cetera. But there is something that has just pushed our, you know, our bodies to have a lot more problems lately. And the thing is that GMOs have not been in our food for really that long. It's been since 1996 they first introduced it into our food supply. So right now it's going on 14 years. And like I said, if you just look across the timetable, something has spiked all of these problems to start showing up.
Now, what did the Europeans do that they're just leaving us in the dust?
Right. Europe, in 1999, so 3 years after this was introduced, in Europe, they covered everything in the media. There was studies done by Arpad Pusztai, who studied rats who were fed genetically modified potatoes versus rats who were not fed genetically modified potatoes, and then also rats that ate potatoes with the pesticide just sprayed on top of them. And so the only rats that had any problem were the ones that ate the genetically modified potatoes. And so all of his research and all the data that he came up with, basically showing that it was killing off his rats, was put into the media. And the public were aware that this stuff may not be that safe to eat. So within a few months after all of this information came out, the consumers basically stood up against it and said, no, we do not want to eat this. We will not buy it. And within a small amount of time, all the major companies pulled GM foods from their shelves, from the restaurants, such as McDonald's and Burger King and Safeway. Some of even the American companies pledged not to use genetically modified foods over there. So they're feeding it to us still over here, but because consumers said, no way, over there, they, you know, have taken it out. Now, if there is any genetically modified ingredients in, let's say, you know, some random store is selling something that does have an ingredient that is genetically modified, it has to be labeled over there. It is law that it has to be labeled. And it's actually very hard to find something that has genetically modified ingredients because consumers do not buy it. If they see that it's labeled and they know that it's genetically modified, then, you know, they will avoid it. So it's virtually not present over there in
Europe.
So
here we have... here we have no labeling of something that's genetically modified, and
exactly.
We have a little more apathy about it. Are we just sort of, what happened to us?
I just don't think people are aware of it because it is just not publicized in the media at all like it was over there. You know, it was written up in all the newspapers and on TV. And, I mean, rarely do we see something put out there in front of our eyes to be able to even understand what is going on, you know, the negatives, the possible negatives of it. They have done a pretty good job of covering that up in America.
Okay.
You know, it's a business. They're making lots of money off of it.
Money talks.
Yes.
Now tell us, I want to move into what everyone's so curious about, and mm-hmm. It's this whole darn salmon thing, you know? So tell us what's new with GMO salmon, and what could it do to our wild salmon population? You know, let me just say that, you know, being part of natural medicine, boy, I don't know what I would do without salmon. I mean, it's just kind of a miracle for people when we get them eating salmon or we get them on salmon oil. I mean, I can't believe what a deficiency people have in those omega-3s. And so for us to lose that natural part of our heritage that has been, you know, an easy source of almost a miracle food, I mean, it just sort of makes me crazy. So tell us what's at stake here. What's happening?
Yeah, it is. It's a very scary thought here that, well, first of all, you know, people are like, well, what is it? What exactly are these genetically engineered salmon? A company called Aqua Bounty Technologies, it's a biotechnology company, and they developed Aqua Advantage Salmon is the title of, that they're calling them. They have been genetically engineered to produce growth hormones year-round, which therefore causes the fish to grow twice the normal rate. So their idea is that it's gonna increase the growth rates. It's gonna help it to have better feed conversion rates. And they are stating that there's no difference in the composition. Well, you know, in the basic DNA, it is different. There is a definite difference because it's been altered. So the question is, well, what is this gonna do if we eat this stuff? Well, they don't know. That's the problem. They are not doing the studies to find out what exactly this can do to us. So if we look back, like I said, all the other animal studies and reports of animals being affected by genetically altered food, you know, there's definitely a high chance that this is not going to be very good for us to be eating it. And, you know, great if it is, but just do the research. Let's just find out what exactly this could do to us after eating it instead of just putting it into our food supply. What they're planning to do is keep them farmed. They would be farmed genetically engineered fish. However, farmed fish every year escape into the wild. So here's another problem is that if they do escape into the wild and they start to mate with wild fish, it's going to be, they say, within 40 fish generations.
How long is that about? Is that like...
You know, I was looking at trying to figure out exactly what it is. They spawn once a year, so my best guess would be it's still a year. It's still
okay, so 40 years. Okay.
So in 40 years, the entire wild fish population could be gone after some of these escape from the farmed areas. So.
And there's a percentage that escape every year farmed salmon, right? They just kind of, that's just what they do. They kind of write that into their knowing full well that that happens. Okay. And
yeah,
so here
they,
we
yeah.
have something that's dangerous escaping versus just unhealthy escaping.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, what can the consumer do? What are we going to do about this? What's our call to action here?
Okay, our call to action here is to stand up against it. As of August 25, 2010, the FDA, that's basically when the FDA started deciding whether or not GE salmon is going to be approved for human consumption. If approved, which will be in the next few weeks here, if it is approved to be put in our food supply, the next decision that they're going to have to think upon is whether or not they're going to make labeling requirements,
mm-hmm.
which is imperative because, I mean, you want to be able to know what you're buying and what you're eating, basically. So right now there is a 60-day window for public comment. and that is going to end on November 22, 2010. So right now is a chance for Americans to say something about this if they are not comfortable with eating a genetically modified animal without any, you know, any research backing that it's safe for us to be eating. A recent poll that was done showed that 91% of Americans oppose eating genetically altered animals. And if that's, you know, if that's the case, then there's definitely a lot of opinion out there, you know, that we don't want to be eating this,
but then we don't do anything. We just kind of
exactly.
Start
we just
watching.
Talk about it, but we don't do something about it.
Okay.
So the best way to do something about it is to send a letter to you know, to the representatives, to Obama, to you know, to all the top people to try and get them to change it. And the easiest way to do that is to get onto, I'll give you a couple websites here.
Oh, great.
And they already have a pre-written letter for you, so you just click on the link.
Okay.
You sign your name to it.
Okay.
You can make changes if you want to add something or, you know, if you want to, but otherwise it's just as simple as signing your name to it. And
we've got like 1 minute here. Yeah, we've got about a minute
exactly.
before we got to take a break. So go ahead and give us those websites and we'll yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it's www.truefoodnow.org.
Truefoodnow. Okay, I'm writing it down. Truefoodnow.org. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then there's responsibletechnology.org.
Responsibletechnology.org. Okay.
And then another one is ge-fish.org.
Okay, ge-fish.org.
Right, and all three of these have very easy access to the letter to be able to send it.
Okay, Americans, rise up here. This is pretty easy. You can do it during a commercial while watching American Idol, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, so we're in the public comment period right now, and we have until November 22nd. And right now you're telling me that 91% of us don't want it, so now we just have to kind of do a little something. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, I love it. Well, hey, you know what? Thanks for coming on. It was enlightening, as always, my dear. And, yeah, and we'll have you come on here again soon and update us. We'll see how we did. We have until November 22nd. So, Carrie Ann Gein, we appreciate you, your effort and your time. And this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy, and we'll be right back after these messages. Oh, welcome back, Reading. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to my show, Positively Healthy. You know, this actually started out, you know, we know about every 6 or 8 weeks we have a fitness show, and so we're kind of moving to that part of the show now. And in our studio today, we have the crew from CrossFit Reading, and I did a blog or an article a year and a half ago. I can't really remember what all, but I went down and I visited them, and they just had the greatest thing going down on East Side Road. And I want to introduce all three of their representatives. We have the original kind of owner person, Brian Shinoni. Brian, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then we have Kevin Sutmiller. Kevin, welcome. And you're really the person I know and I've talked to
yes.
the most. So I'm meeting Brian for the first time today. And then we have the amazing Dr. Rob Smith, chiropractor extraordinaire in the house, who is an addict, I'm learning. He just is the biggest fan of the CrossFit concept.
A complete addict.
Yeah. So welcome. And so let's hear how it came to Reading, how, you know, Brian, you pretty much found the concept, right?
Yes, I did. Around 2005, my cousin kept calling me and telling me that there's a better way to train. I was doing triathlon training, the long slow distance type stuff, and after about 20 phone calls and a bunch of different emails, I finally in 2007 said, "All right, I'll come take a look." Which was actually funny. I checked out the very first CrossFit games, and I was pretty amazed. I was like, "This is pretty neat stuff." And I met the founder of CrossFit, which was Coach Glassman, and he looked at me and he said, "Oh, what do you do?" And I told him that I'm a triathlete and a cyclist. And he looked up and he gave me the up and down look, and he said, "Oh, really?" And I remember that moment, and I thought to myself, "Well, I don't like that at all. Why did I get looked at?" So we I started the program, and I went to some certifications and checked out, and went to basically everything CrossFit I could get my hands on. and realized that I had some serious deficiencies in my workout program, strength being one of them. And as I continued on, I started to, as we like to say in CrossFit, start spreading the word and drinking the Kool-Aid. I started finding people that were like, "Well, wait a second, this is very interesting. I want to do this." One of our other owners, Jacob Cullen, I gave him a workout. He came back in a couple days later, and he's like, "I can't move my arms and legs." And I'm like, "Excellent, you're doing CrossFit." It was great because at that point we started to build steam, and that's when I met Kevin. And I basically gave him the whole idea: "Hey, go try this workout. It's great." He basically tried the workout. Came back a few days later and was like, "What did you do to me?" I was like, "We have deficiencies in our workout programs." And it was great. Really, from that point, we knew we wanted to bring this to everyone. We were working out of other local gyms, and finally decided that we need to take that plunge and go for it and bring this to everyone.
Well, what was so different about it? I mean, you needed more strength in your program, but what was it about the whole CrossFit concept that was so enticing? What were you having people do that was different than what you would what you were doing before?
The exciting thing about it, and I've been in, I mean, literally 100 different programs that you know, you get bored with. You're going in for 6 months, you're going in for a year, you're like, "This is great. Oh, well, now I'm bored."
Yeah.
The great thing about CrossFit is that it's never boring. I mean, I'm 3 years plus deep in the CrossFit, and I am absolutely intrigued every day, and I still get the butterflies when I do the workouts. And it's the opening of CrossFit, the opening of the doors of CrossFit has just been absolutely amazing. So, and like we say, it's constantly varied functional fitness executed at high intensity. So the injury rate's low, the movements are programmed into our body. And the intensity is what you want to make of it. So you can go 100%, or you can go what you feel is 100%. And that's what I love about it. And the competition aspect of it is that.
So you're competing with yourself.
Competing with yourself, absolutely. And you know, there is that little bit that you know, you see your name on the whiteboard, and you see someone else's name on the whiteboard, and well, you know, I want a couple seconds faster than that. So I'm going to work maybe a little bit harder than I would at the normal rate.
Okay. Now, Kevin, what moved you about it?
Well, one of the things that I was fortunate enough a few years before I met Brian, worked with a trainer here named Cecil Johns. He passed away. I was in the healthcare industry and had lost my job and made the plunge to become a personal trainer, something I'd always wanted to do. So a lot of what Cecil had taught me was the functional fitness type training and modality. And when I met Brian, as he said, he gave me workout to use, and went and did it, and the thing that it added to what I was already doing was a little bit more intensity. You know, when you add a stopwatch to a workout, it changes the outcome. So that really brought it to another level for me, and then we got to talk and got, I'm like, "Yeah, let's do this," and we opened this thing up and got it rolling, and you know, 2.5 years later, we're changing a lot of lives and getting people into not just the fitness aspect, but there's a whole community aspect that we enjoy at CrossFit Reading, where we're like a big family. We all help each other, and not just the fitness aspects, but there's things outside of the gym that we help each other with too. So it's a fun ride for everyone involved.
Wow! Now tell the listeners what a workout would look like. Like, what does it look like down at your studio?
Well.
Or what do you call it? Do you call it a...
Typically, it is... it's a gym. It's just
a gym.
It's an unconventional gym that most people are used to having, like, treadmills and bikes and all that stuff in their gym with a whole bunch of machines that they sit down on. And we value our space. And we use a lot of dumbbells, kettlebells. We use Olympic lifting, running, jumping, more natural movements that the body uses, compound movements, more than one joint at a time. Whereas a lot of the machines in the gyms are just one joint movements, so it's a lot. It represents more of a natural movement pattern that people really need in their everyday life. And you know, as we age, it becomes more and more important to maintain that capacity to do things. And one thing that if you think long term using this stuff, one thing I share with people a lot is that as you age, you diminish your capacity to move. Lose range of motion and that type of thing. So we try to maintain that throughout our lives, and therefore getting old isn't quite as scary.
This said from three very young-looking men. Hey, we're going to take a quick radio break. It's what we do here. And this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy, and we'll be right back.
Would you?
Welcome back. You're listening to Positively Healthy, and in the studio we have representatives from CrossFit Reading. We're having one of our fitness shows. We have Kevin Sutmiller, Brian Shinoni, and Dr. Rob Smith, Reading chiropractor. And Brian was just going to tell us a little bit about what an actual workout looks like. What are they doing in there?
That's the exciting part about CrossFit, is that when you walk through the door, you really don't know what you're getting into. Every day it's different. One of our favorite workouts is named Cindy. The cool thing about CrossFit is that we have benchmark workouts, each one named after a girl.
Cool.
Easy to remember, yep. So we don't always have to say, hey, what's your what's this, this, and this? It's, hey, what's my Fran time? Pretty easy way to break it down. And one of our favorite workouts, what really got me excited about CrossFit, was a workout named Cindy. Real nice girl. 5 pull-ups. 10 push-ups, 15 air squats. As many rounds as possible of that in 20 minutes. That is absolutely one of our favorites. So we have everybody run through that workout when they first come through the door. Real mellow. You can use it as hard as you'd like to use. I mean, if you want to go 30 rounds, that's certainly a possibility. If you'd like to go 5 rounds, that's usually more than enough for new folks. So that's basically what we're looking at. So we have something like a bodyweight movement. And then we also have another workout called Grace, which is 135 pounds for men, 95 for women, and it's from ground to overhead, clean and jerk. And we have folks moving that 30 times in around 90 seconds, 2 minutes. So, all across the board. Those are some of our top athletes. And then the great thing about CrossFit is that it is at all scalable. So we can use that exact same movement of a clean and jerk. Instead of using 35 pounds, we can use a PVC pipe, and we can use a 10-pound bar, or we can use 5-pound dumbbells. That's what's exciting about CrossFit, is that it is very scalable.
So you're doing a lot of repetitions in
a very short amount of time, yeah.
So you're doing them as fast as you can.
That's intensity, yes.
Okay.
So when we say intensity, it's how fast can we do it, and the most important thing is form and function first.
Okay.
We're not going to throw somebody in who's brand new and say, here's 135 pounds and see how fast you can move it.
Right.
We build up to this, and we build up to strength and speed and coordination with our 10 general recognized fitness skills.
Now, do you have a coach watching you as you're learning these moves? Or
absolutely, okay. Yes. So that's the most important thing for us, is that form and function. Form and function, and being able to execute these movements correctly each time before we introduce intensity. Which is why we have a fundamentals class that we work on. We have everybody go through a fundamentals class. You have the option of going through a monthly course or a one-on-one personal training course. And we teach you these movements. And we really, after a fundamentals class, is you're absolutely sick of a squat, deadlift, and press. But you can execute a squat, deadlift,
but you're not going to hurt yourself
exactly,
either, because
yeah.
You learned it right.
Right. And we use a lot of stuff with a PVC. PVC becomes our best friend. And we use just a standard piece of PVC pipe and run you guys through a series of different movements with different intensity. And that's what we love about the fundamentals course, is that after the fundamentals we jump into the classes and you feel a lot more prepared.
And then you start bringing up the intensity, is
exactly.
That where
yeah.
Okay.
And then we can start introducing weight and intensity.
Okay.
And I'd like to just speak to the fact that as far as the scalability goes, a lot of times in we hear feedback from the general public, and this is all across the country, is that CrossFit's intimidating. And a lot of people that don't understand truly what CrossFit is, it can. On the surface, it can sound intimidating because of the intensity. But because of the scalability, bringing those weights down, maybe we decrease the reps a little bit, there's still the functional movements. The other thing that will really happen, too, is that we have such a broad range of ages. We have, 13, 14-year-old kids that are in there learning these moves, at an early age, so that they're much better prepared for a lifetime of good movement. And as well as the people all the way up into their 60s and 70s are doing CrossFit, and even more. So it's its ability to you know, be able to scale these things so everybody can do it. So CrossFit truly is for everybody, and I think Brian had another point he wanted to mention.
Yeah, just really quick, we just last weekend we did a fundraiser, Fight Gone Bad, that benefited Wounded Warriors, Live Strong, and the CrossFit Foundation. This is, you know, a nationwide fundraiser that we do every year. I think this year we're close to raising almost $3 million as a whole CrossFit.
Impressive.
Yeah, CrossFit. When anytime we can get together as a community and raise money and do something good for a cause, CrossFitters will definitely step up to the plate. But one of the exciting things about that is we had a this Fight Gone Bad workout. It's a tough workout. I mean, it's us as trainers, we're scared of it. And I mean, we'll be honest on that. And you know, we thought it was great that some of our older ladies at CrossFit, our more mature clients, they formed their team, and they called themselves the Old Lady Crew, and they jumped in there, ranging from 50 to 60. And, you know, they jumped in there with it and mixed it up with all the other fire breathers in the gym, and that was really exciting. And that really goes to show that, the scalability,
yeah,
and the basically anybody can do it, and
sure,
that's the thing.
So, Dr. Rob, what's your experience with CrossFit? What got you hooked?
Well, I was hooked from the start about 2 years ago. I just was making some changes in how I was doing things in my life, and I made the simple decision to be my best.
Mm.
And that's what somehow I got introduced to CrossFit, actually through another trainer, Justin Cascarina, and he said, "Hey, they've got this great thing going on." And of course, as a chiropractor, you hear a lot of great things going on, but it was exactly what he described. I started with the basics, and honestly, I was, my background is I was a Division I NCAA All-American swimmer, and I've worked
That's
out
right.
and
yeah.
really kind of put an effort into it. But when it came to personal fitness, I didn't understand really the same thing. I guess I didn't really take responsibility back then, and at the time I was 25 pounds heavier than I am now, and really out of shape and weak. And so when I decided to be my best, a lot of change had to come quickly. And since then, it's just been wonderful. I mean, to give you some milestones, before I started CrossFit, I can barely run an 8-minute mile, and now I'm proud to say I'm the gym record holder.
Oh, my goodness. And he's in the room with us. Wow.
So
that's great.
So I just a 5:30 mile now. So,
oh my gosh.
So there's big changes. And
and work on that.
Yeah, and I still have to work on that. Brian's going to get on me.
Sub 5 coming soon.
Sub 5. But when it applies to the healthy living, healthy lifestyle, I've really taken it to the next level in my own personal self. And then I talk about CrossFit to everyone I know.
Which is how
you heard about it.
from years ago.
And it comes from a simple, the culture of CrossFit. I want just to take a little moment here. The culture of CrossFit is really about being your best. Because most people go to the gym because they feel like they don't want something. They go because they don't want to be fat. They don't want to be weak. And the culture of the gym usually is that. It's like you go to the gym because you want to lose 5 pounds or something. And the focus is on not being something, not being fat. Where at CrossFit, it's about being something. It's about being your best. It's about being strong. It's about being fit. It's about making something more and really getting the most out of life. You know, squeezing all the orange juice out of the orange.
I love it.
So when you show up, just like anything, you show up to, okay, I don't know what to expect today. And some days I'm like, yes, it's this workout. And some days I'm like, no, it's that workout. But I show up and do it. And that helps people to, when I say go to CrossFit, just show up. You'll have a great time. You won't like me some days after you do the workout because I'm the one who told you to come. But just do it. And so since we've done that in our own healthy lifestyle, it's just been wonderful, and we can rock to almost any challenge.
Now, how many days a week are you working out at CrossFit?
I'm a 5-dayer.
Okay.
Sometimes 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I apply some of the principles into what we call CrossFit endurance, and so we're taking to the next level this next year, and we're going to do some more triathlons and such, and so we're going to really going to elevate the our local competition. I went back to my alumni meet in Arizona State and set marks and beat some of the young kids down there, and I heard that I still have a record here at Shasta High, so if any Shasta High swimmer wants to take me on, I can still take you. So that's an open
and lift heavier.
That's
and lift
right.
heavier. So lift heavier and run faster.
Oh my gosh, the challenges keep coming in here. So hey, we're going to take a quick radio break, and we're going to be back with more of Dr. Rob here just after this. All right, we chose a mellow song. Okay, we're going to come back next time with a tougher song. This is Dr. Trudy Pratting. You're listening to Positively Healthy. And we're putting a little Metallica on because they work out a lot to Metallica. But I think we chose a song that started to relax me into a nice lull there. So, you know, next time we go to a break, we're coming back with something pounding if we can find it. So we're back in the studio. We've got Kevin Sottmiller from CrossFit Reading along with Brian Cianone and Dr. Rob Smith, amazing Reading chiropractor. And we're talking about CrossFit, what kind of workout you have, and just in our last couple minutes here, I want to talk a little bit now about diet, because, you know, Rob, you were saying that really you started working out with CrossFit the last 2 years, but you also made some dietary changes, and you really attribute that to your unbelievable health that you're experiencing.
That is right on spot. And the question is, I think you have to ask yourself out there, is that do you want it to be fit or just not fat? Because a lot of times when people eat food, they eat food not to be fat and the such. But there's a difference when you begin to really focus in on a diet and eat the quality foods and the type of your diet's composed of foods that give you the best fitness, the best feeling, and the such. And in the gym, what I learned a lot was that they talk a lot about the paleo way of eating, mm-hmm. and also using like a zone type of approach. And when we apply that, my wife and I apply it in our household, we notice a tremendous impact in our health, our moods, our energy levels, our ability to actually not only complete the workouts, but actually excel at the workouts. And we see that in everyday life. It really impacts us because we work with people every day. And if we're not at our best, we can't give our best. And that's really the way of eating that we've chosen to do is really follow more closely to a paleo and...
So what kind of foods would that be then? What are you eating?
Like, so I like nice grass-fed, you know,
things
beef.
That moo.
Yeah, things that moo. I'm a moo type of guy. So I like go for the Lazy 69. You know, I think we probably twice or three times a week, you know, fire the grill up and eat that. Lots of vegetables, lots of fruits, nuts, and I really stay away from grains. So when I want to kind of tune in my fitness and my performance, I stay away from pizza, even though pizza is my favorite. I stay away from pizza, and so because it has, you know, whatever it is, it has lots of grain because of the doughs and the such. So, really, if you can pick it up, if you can hunt it down, you know, that's the type of foods, any type of processed food you stay away from and the such. So, it's really just giving your body the energy it needs to do its best.
Absolutely, Rob. So, We love a couple different things. We like the paleo diet a lot, like we said. And with that approach, it's pretty easy. It's you know, meats, vegetables, nuts, seeds, some fruit, little starch, no sugar. Pretty easy to do. I know a lot of us, we love our Starbucks. Pretty easy to go to Starbucks and get an Americano. It's a nice little substitute. You guys should try it.
What's delicious. An Americano again?
Just shots and water.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got the caffeine and it's got the coffee taste. So what better than that, right? But really, with diet is what you're putting in your body is directly gonna be your output. So if you're putting in junky food in the workouts in your daily life, you're gonna feel like junk, and that's really what we try to stress a lot. We notice that. We know the folks that want to eat good and are changing their diet, their performance is just through the roof.
Wow.
They're taking on these benchmark workouts, and you're like, oh, my goodness, what are they doing? Where the other folks who are, you know, maybe hitting the pizza every night and the brownies and the cupcakes, their performance is, you know, less than substandard, I would say, for sure. But diet is such an important part of, you know, really all of our life. And like Rob said, it's, you know, basically diet is the building block. It is. It really is.
It's the platform for all pretty much cellular structure at the base level. So it's extremely important to eat the clean stuff, like your guest earlier on the phone was talking about. It is get out there and be aware of what you're eating, because it's what builds us and how we develop and turn over cells and stuff. So extremely important to take that serious. It's don't just eat what we've been pushed by you know, our governmental agencies and such. So
those commercials,
just,
boy, they're
yeah,
tempting.
Go out
yeah.
and get smart. And we're not even getting into the whole pharmaceutical aspect of this. So, but at some point, maybe we can be invited back and talk about some more things. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, find out what you're eating and be smart about it.
Okay, well, let's, here in our closing 30 seconds, tell us how people find you. Where are you?
Yeah, we are on East Side Road. Big Blue Build, or Big Blue Doors. Look for blue. We really like the color blue. I don't know why, but it's a great color. So we have blue. We're a warehouse, like I said. Like Kevin said, we're not a traditional gym, so don't look for the tanning beds. You can find us at www.crossfitreading.com. You can go to the main site at crossfit.com and search Reading. We're going to be there. So.
Cool. Okay. And did you give a phone number? I'm starting to listen to our...
It's 244-1348.
Okay. And is this Metallica, Jim? Okay, people. This is who they really are.
This is when the fun happens.
This is when the fun happens. Hey, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week.